Yes, came Malfoy's clear drawl from the group nearest them. Father was talking to the minister just a couple of days ago, you know, and it sounds as though the ministry's really determined to crack down on substandard teaching in this place. So even if that overgrown moron does show up again, he'll probably be sent packing straight away. Ouch! Harry had gripped the bow truckle so hard that it had almost snapped. It had just taken a great retaliatory swipe at his hand with its sharp fingers, leaving two long, deep cuts there. Harry dropped it. Crabbe and Goyle, who had already been guffawing at the idea of Hagrid being sacked, laughed still harder as the bow truckle set off at full tilt toward the forest, a little moving stick man soon swallowed up by the tree roots. When the bell echoed distantly over the grounds, Harry rolled up his blood-stained bow-truckle picture and marched off to Herbology, with his hand wrapped in a handkerchief of Hermione's and Malfoy's derisive laughter still ringing in his ears. "If he calls Hagrid a moron one more time," said Harry through gritted teeth. "Harry, don't go picking a row with Malfoy. Don't forget, he's a prefect now. He could make life difficult for you." "Wow, I wonder what it'd be like to have a difficult life," said Harry sarcastically. Ron laughed, but Hermione frowned. Together they traipsed across the vegetable patch. The sky still appeared unable to make up its mind whether it wanted to rain or not. "I just wish Hagrid would hurry up and get back, that's all," said Harry in a low voice as they reached the greenhouses. "And don't say that grubbly plank woman's a better teacher," he added threateningly.
"I wasn't going to,"
said Hermione calmly, "because she'll never be as good as Hagrid," said Harry firmly, fully aware that he had just experienced an exemplary care of magical creatures lesson and was thoroughly annoyed about it. The door of the nearest greenhouse opened and some fourth years spilled out of it, including Ginny.
"Hi,"
she said brightly as she passed. A few seconds later, Luna Lovegood emerged, trailing behind the rest of the class, a smudge of earth on her nose and her hair tied in a knot on the top of her head. When she saw Harry, her prominent eyes seemed to bulge excitedly, and she made a beeline straight for him. Many of his classmates turned curiously to watch. Luna took a great breath and then said, without so much as a preliminary hello,
"I believe he who must not be named is back, and I believe you fought him and escaped from him."
Right, said Harry awkwardly. Luna was wearing what looked like a pair of orange radishes for earrings, a fact that Parvati and Lavender seemed to have noticed as they were both giggling and pointing at her earlobes.
"You can laugh,"
Luna said, her voice rising, apparently under the impression that Parvati and Lavender were laughing at what she had said rather than what she was wearing.
"But people used to believe there were no such things as the blibbering humdinger or the crumple-horned snorkack."
"Well, they were right, weren't they?"
said Hermione impatiently.
"There weren't any such things as the blibbering humdinger or the crumpled-horned snorkack."
Luna gave her a withering look and flounced away, radishes swinging madly. Parvati and Lavender were not the only ones hooting with laughter now. "Do you mind not offending the only people who believe me?" Harry asked Hermione as they made their way into class.
"Oh, for heaven's sake, Harry, you can do better than her,"
said Hermione.
"Ginny's told me all about her. Apparently she'll only believe in things as long as there's no proof at all. Well, I wouldn't expect anything else from someone whose father runs the Quibbler."
Harry thought of the sinister winged horses he had seen on the night he had arrived, and how Luna had said she could see them too. His spirits sank slightly. Had she been lying? But before he could devote much more thought to the matter, Ernie Macmillan had stepped up to him.